Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Coming up in a little bit, we will talk about one of Rob's favorite athletes, Christian Pulisic. That did he play in yesterday's game? I mean, he was out there, but I mean, he was out there for cardio and vibes for the most part, and he also checked out of the game. The U.S. played 5 games in the World Cup. He missed 1 game. He left 2 other games because of injury. He has scored 1 goal in the last 14 games for the United States. He has been missing in action for the United States team, and they really needed somebody to step up yesterday, and he was not one of those individuals. I want to play for you guys a conversation that I had earlier today with Jason Davis. He is with SiriusXM FC, covers soccer, and we started our conversation with, what is the ceiling for the United States men's team? I kind of think they're pretty close to it.
I think this stuff happens slowly over time. I've been covering, writing, podcasting, doing radio about soccer for 20 years. Absolutely, there has been improvement in those 20 years. It's undeniable that there's been improvement in American soccer in those 20 years. 20 years ago, we didn't have multiple players playing for Champions League-level clubs in the biggest leagues in Europe. That was not a thing we could even have dreamt of at the time. So there's improvement. The question is whether or not you can coalesce all these pieces together, whether it's Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, Fabian Balogun, whether you can put them all together in one team in one moment every 4 years and make that all count to break into a club that, as you described, involves France and Spain and England and some of these other nations where, you know, to be fair to us, football is life. Their chief sport, the only sport they care about, the only sport that any of those kids who grew up in and around Paris care about playing is soccer. I hate the best athletes argument as a reason why we're not on that level, but there's something to the idea that culturally we just do not have that pressure. We do not have that desire. Maybe one day we will. Who knows?
Right now, we're breaking down the United States' loss yesterday to Belgium in the World Cup. If you had to sum things up yesterday, because it's easy for somebody like me to say, you know, everything went wrong. You know, you've been covering this sport for a long time. What went wrong yesterday for the United States?
I mean, you know, my analytical brain wants to say that they didn't have a good plan, or, you know, there was something the Belgians did that unsettled the Americans, that there was something they hadn't seen before. But to me, that came down to execution. I don't like the idea that they didn't care. I think they did care about winning, but for whatever reason, they came out flat as a team, and that sort of psychology infected everybody. They gave up a goal 9 minutes into the match, and they never recovered from that mentally, right? And you could see that Belgium was a better team to exploit some of the deficiencies in this U.S. men's national team than the teams they had played in the group phase, the Paraguays, the Australia, obviously Bosnia in the last round. Those teams let the U.S. have the ball. They let the U.S. dictate the game, and when the U.S. had that opportunity, they did really well with it. With Belgium, who is certainly technically capable of whipping the ball around the park, the United States had more trouble. And if you get bullied the way that Tim Ream did on the second goal, if you don't attack the ball when it bounces in the box, which is one of the biggest no-nos in soccer when you're talking about defensively covering your own net, you know, these things are going to happen. And again, I think for whatever reason, they weren't able to hit the switch necessary to really get themselves back into that game.
I mean, looking at Belgium yesterday, they just look bigger, stronger, faster, and more skilled than the U.S. Like, I'm watching them, and they got guys coming in as subs. The guy who scored the last goal on Belgium, he looked like he would have been the best player on the United States. Like, they just looked more physically imposing than the United States.
Well, that's Romelu Lukaku, and absolutely Lukaku is physically imposing, and we don't have one of those guys right now, and maybe we've never – I mean, Jozy Altidore was in that vein, but that's a long time ago now. Jozy's retired. He didn't hit that height. Look, you know, again, this is just that thing of when you grow up in Belgium, what sport are you going to play? If you're Romelu Lukaku and you're 6'2", and I don't know what he's at, probably a little bit more than 200 pounds because – soccer doesn't make them that big. You know, you play soccer. That's what you do. You grow into this. You become the best you can possibly be. You get to go play in bigger clubs, big clubs in Europe somewhere. And then when they call you, you play for your national team and you show out at the World Cup. The United States has, again, made progress, but we don't have – sort of that next level of player, right? And again, we don't have the depth either. So what you saw from Belgium is what you're talking about, that they were able to kind of rotate through their team and pick a couple of guys who hadn't even started some of the games in this tournament. They left a guy like Kevin De Bruyne on the bench. Kevin De Bruyne, he's 35 years old, so he's no spring chicken, but he's one of the best players of his generation, full stop, across the globe. And they were like, yeah, we don't need you right now to go beat the Americans.
Right now, we're talking to Jason Davis. He's with SiriusXM FC Radio covering the World Cup. Let's talk a little bit about Christian Pulisic. Nobody on my Twitter timeline seemed to be happy with the way that he was playing yesterday. He received a lot of criticism for his game yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't show up when we needed him. That's the burden of being a star, right? Or the burden that is thrust upon you when you reach a certain level. You know, I'm not saying that Christian Pulisic is out there saying, "Hey, I'm the best." I don't think that that's his mentality. But he does seem to have shirked from the biggest stage when he had the opportunity on home soil to do something big in this tournament. He had a good first half against Paraguay. That's a long time ago. Obviously, he picked up an injury in that game. Who knows how much of a factor that was for how he looked. He looked slow. He didn't have that quick first step, which is it's so critical to his game. He can beat players just by that quick first step. He can earn fouls. He didn't do any of those things. He was a black hole with the ball. He was playing backwards. It seemed as though he, just like everybody else on that team, didn't have whatever it was mentally that would allow them to get themselves back in the contest. And then ultimately he gets hurt and he leaves, and it's a very sad ending to his World Cup.
What do you think is next for the United States in terms of development, in terms of the next 4 years as they prepare for the World Cup coming up in Spain in 2030? What's next for the United States men's soccer program?
Oh, well, first and foremost, it's finding a coach, because Pochettino's contract was set to run out after this tournament. Now, we had reports before the tournament that U.S. Soccer had made him an offer for a new contract. He said after the game yesterday that, you know, that wasn't the time to talk about it, and that, you know, there would be a conversation at some point. He's probably going to be an in-demand coach for a club job, which is obviously where he came from. This is not where you would expect him to be at this point in his career. It was kind of a coup for U.S. Soccer to get him. U.S. Soccer got a subsidy from a billionaire to pay his salary. You know, so there's lots of things kind of up in the air in terms of Pochettino. I'm not sure I want him back. In international soccer, you tend to have guys who come back for a second cycle, and the message gets stale, they get bored, things go south. It happened for the United States. They brought back Greg Berhalter, things went south, they fired him, they ended up with Pochettino eventually. Pochettino's only been in this job for, what, 2 years, something like that? He doesn't know what it's like to do a full four-year cycle as head coach of a national team that's not going to be playing against the biggest European powers, because they have their own things going on. So unless you're going to be happy playing Honduras and Mexico and CONCACAF Nations League, and maybe, if we're lucky, a Copa America that could involve Brazil and Argentina, you know, he's probably going to want to move on for a different challenge. So then the United States is in that position to go back out and find a coach. And I'll tell you, I don't think there's an obvious candidate right now.
I don't know if this is crazy to say, but ultimately, I am proud of this team. I think this team came really, really close to hitting its ceiling. Now, obviously, everybody wanted them to play better in the round of 16 against Belgium. But as I mentioned when we started this conversation, they dominated their group stage. They easily won their first knockout round game, and they made it to the round of 16. If you had asked every U.S. soccer fan, this is where they expected them to go, this is where they wanted them to go. People seem to really rally behind soccer. People really seem to support this team and like this team. They developed a couple of stars and new fresh faces. I'm proud of the way that this team competed for the most part in this tournament.
I would agree. I mean, sort of in the big picture, there are a couple of things that happened around the tournament that kind of soured that. Obviously, the end of it, the performance, right? The fact that it looks like they didn't have, I don't know, whatever, the mentality necessary to compete. People thought they didn't try hard enough, right? Which, I hate, because I think they care about winning, but they clearly didn't have whatever it was yesterday they needed to push Belgium. That's going to be a black mark on this performance in this tournament. You also have, obviously, the Balogun red card thing. He gets a red card. Yes, it was questionable, but generally speaking, these things don't get overturned. You don't get unsuspended in the middle of a tournament. To have that go down the way it did with possible political influence really turned not just the rest of the world against this team, but I think a lot of Americans are like, this is not how we want to do this. So there are a couple of things that maybe will drag down the energy. I also said before the tournament that I thought a quarterfinal appearance was sort of the bare minimum to call it a successful World Cup, and I'm not going to change my mind on that. I don't think it was a successful World Cup when you had your games in the United States of America, and you could have captured a million more fans if you just kept this going one more round and got a chance to play against Spain. But they showed some things that encouraged me, right? They showed a mentality in the first part of the tournament that I did like. They went after the game. They showed a maturity about winning matches and fighting for their opportunity to make the knockout stage. The crowds responded. We got the country roads moments that I don't think those fans who were in the building will ever forget. So those things are positive.
I'll follow up with that with this question. What do you think the legacy of the Golden Generation is? Because they mentioned this a couple of times on the broadcast about this being the biggest game of their soccer lives, and it all kind of led to this, and on the first World Cup since 1994. Like, there was obviously a lot of pressure on Pulisic and Balogun and all of those guys to have success in this game. Everything was leading up to it. How would you kind of define that Golden Generation as we are moving forward?
It's a good question. I always bristled at the Golden Generation thing because it's contextual, right? They're our Golden Generation. Doesn't mean they measure up to the Golden Generation of Spain, of France, and England, and Argentina. All those countries have won World Cups, right? We have not. So for us to say Golden Generation, I guess it just created a burden on them to perform at a level that would have been, beyond what this country has ever done. Now, at some point, obviously, we want to break through. We want to get to that next level, and we want to be a quarterfinal team as often as possible. We want to make a semifinal, all those things. That's absolutely true that moment needs to come at some point. But it's really tough for me to be too heavy-handed with my criticism of this quote-unquote Golden Generation when we kind of still are where we've always been. The rest of the world didn't stop getting better. And so for us to be top 15, top 20 on a regular basis, that feels about right to me. Now, this group, again, will probably be taking some criticism because they didn't do the extra thing, especially on home soil. Pulisic didn't show up in this tournament, not in the way we needed him to. Weston McKennie had a good group stage, but obviously it's about your last performance. And, Tyler Adams, Balogun in his first World Cup and being added to this team in the last cycle, I think he's going to come out of this looking pretty good. Chris Richards, pretty good as well, despite the performance last night. We're going to be saying goodbye to some players who weren't really part of the Golden Generation. So it's a mixed bag. I think, for the most part, these guys will slot right in with the Michael Bradleys and the Jozy Altidores as players we revere within the context of American soccer without, calling them, extra special.
That was Jason Davis of SiriusXM FC joining us to talk a little bit about the World Cup as the United States was eliminated yesterday against Belgium. We had one of the more exciting games of the tournament. I don't know how Argentina just continues to play in these games. Argentina had one of them against Cape Verde a couple of days ago. They had one earlier today against Egypt. They were down 2-0 in the 77th minute. They scored 3 goals in regulation time and win 3-2. A great win for them. Lionel Messi also scored in this. So Argentina, they have advanced to Kansas City this weekend. We will see if they will play either Switzerland or Colombia. Those two teams are playing right now. The winner plays Saturday at Kansas City Stadium, and that is the final game that Kansas City will host in the World Cup.